Israel's a famous Tamia. This time it's love, and before that was a skido on Baya Teta. So as promised, I'm speaking to Mubumbi Nzalam. I hope I said that well, because really, I try. Good evening.
Good evening, Riperile.
Did I pronounce your name well?
Yes, well then.
Oh, yes. I always brag about how multilingual I try to be. So, hey, it would have been really sad.
Thank you for trying.
Yeah. So, it's quite interesting, the conversation that we're about to have. And I say it because you've brought a perspective about meditation that even I didn't have. I've always believed that meditation is something that I am yet to discover, I am yet to do, and I'm a very spiritual person. So when I realized that a part of a lot of things that I've already incorporated in my lifestyle are meditation, I was quite interested. So I think the first thing that I'd love to know is, who is Mubumbi Nzalama? And as already I had mentioned the fact that I'm a very spiritual person, what has been your journey to building this relationship with meditation to begin with?
Okay, so Mubumbi Nzalama is a spiritual coach.
Mm.
I am a high priestess. I am a Sangoma in training.
Mm.
And I am a creator. And I think it's also important to mention that I am a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think all those things have sort of been part of me building my spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
Parenthood is very spiritual for me anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think being somebody that is a creator, creator of conversations, creator of safe spaces, creator of my own life, there has been a lot of spiritual disciplines that I've had to sort of learn. I like calling them spiritual habits, you know, and I'm mentioning the high priestess and the Sangoma stuff as well, because it means my spirituality is also within an African traditional healer context, as well as from a biblical Christian context, if you take the high priestess into account.
And according to you, because I realize by just listening to everything that you're saying that it's been a journey.
Yes.
What does meditation mean to you? If you could explain meditation to someone who says, what is it? Why is it important? What is it to you?
Meditation is a spiritual discipline
that
uses the power of attention to tame the mind.
Mm.
Because if you think about meditation in a bigger scale, what it is that it focuses on the body, while other types of meditation help you to draw yourself closer to the Most High. The Most High, I'm talking about God.
Mm.
I'm talking about your ancestors. I'm talking to the divine, infinite power and source that is in the world, you know. I think it's very important to understand that you are not your thoughts, right? You are the thinker of the thoughts.
Mm.
And what happens when you start meditating is that it helps you tame the mind. The mind is a wild animal.
Like,
it's not, you know. But once you can learn how to tame it, you can manifest, you can transcend, and you can reconnect yourself with your true infinite self.
Mm.
So for me, that is meditation. It's about taming the mind. It's about, you know, truly finding a spiritual discipline that will allow you to focus your attention. Because once you focus your attention, you can tame something.
Yes. So in our conversations off air, you said you wanted to at least enlighten me on meditation and its connection to three things. The first being nature, the second one being ukuphahla, or praying, as you had already mentioned right now, and the last one being the rituals and African ceremonies that we do without even realizing that it's also a part of meditating. So I think I'd want to firstly begin with the one where you speak of meditation and its connection with nature. I love going out And I've always found that calming effect on taking drives to very green places. So yes. I don't know if just being there is meditation, or what is the relationship with nature and meditation exactly?
I think this goes back to what I was saying about me wanting to state that I am a mother, and how that for me is a spiritual practice. Because if you think about nature, nature represents mother. It is, people all the time say, yeah, no, I want some mother nature. You know,
yes.
they connect that to that sort of, they give it almost a female
identity,
trait,
for lack of a better
word.
Yes.
And if you think about a female identity, especially in terms of mother, you think about nurturing.
Mm.
So nature nurtures, literally. So that's the first form of meditation for me, because there's nothing more beautiful than feeling seen, feeling understood, and feeling heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that does that without any judgment is nature.
Mm-hmm.
One of your colleagues actually recently posted Umpumi. She was at, I think she went to visit the waterfalls over mm-hmm. the last weekend.
Yes, yes,
and
I saw
that
as well.
Something, yeah, and she mentioned something about when she watches the waterfall, she can feel the abundance of God. You know, when she sits there and she watches those waterfalls just roaring, you can literally see how abundant we are, you know. And I just want to say that also things like gardening, doing things specifically within nature, whether it's walking, whether it's, you know, when you hike in the beginning, they're like, yeah, we're about to do a 20-kilometer hike. You're like, no, man, I can't do this. And you do it. So,
and it's a lot more relaxing than tiring, come to think of it afterwards, because we always think, oh, no, I can't do this, I'm going to be tired. But you end up walking out of there feeling a lot more relieved of certain burdens you came with.
For sure, because once you're there, Mother Nature takes what you don't want and gives you what you need.
True.
Whether that's the air that you're breathing, you know, whether that's watching a fire, whether that's sitting outside and feeling the breeze just wash over you, you know. So the elements, the four elements are very important when it comes to meditating. You know, there's certain ways that, for example, from a Sangoma point of view, when you need to get into trance, the elements will be used as tools. You know, kuna snuff, which represents the earth. Kuna a candle, which is the fire, there's water, and then there's the wind itself, you know. So the nature is our mother nature specifically is the one place where we can meditate without any judgment. You can literally take a walk and be able, not even knowingly, but you are processing certain problems. You know,
and it's funny because even when we're angry, we'll say, I need to take a walk. But we don't acknowledge that walk does actually do something to you or for you.
Yeah, because you even say, I need some air when you know. So, you know what you need to do. Your body tells you what you need to do, which is, again, going back to what I'm saying about nature, is about being more in touch with your body. Because a lot of the time feelings are within us. So a lot of the times we are just ingesting. We're ingesting, whether we're ingesting what to watch on TV, whether we're ingesting, you know, what happened at work, you know, we don't have a time to digest. And within our body, nature is telling us to digest. So your body knows what it needs to do. So within a nature point of view, you know that sometimes you need to palaza. You know that you just need a drink of water because you've got a headache, you know. So in terms of nature, it's bigger than just taking a walk. It is about listening to your body. It is about knowing which elements you need to ground you. You know, even if it means take a walk, sure, but take a walk without your shoes. You know.
And I think I'm guilty of that one.
In what way?
I kind of do it even in the office, and I'm not conscious of the fact that I've actually taken off my shoes. So my colleagues have been asking about that to say, do you realize that for some reason you end up walking around the office barefoot? And there's just something about it. I know when I need it. I can tell that now it needs to happen. But I'm not conscious of the fact that I'm now taking off my shoes in a professional setting where I shouldn't. So I'll end up, you know, going to the kitchen or the boardroom or other places without my shoes. And I feel so comfortable and relaxed, but I've forgotten the fact that I actually left my shoes somewhere. And then I end up looking for them.
Because you're honoring your body, you know, you're honoring what your needs are at the time. And, you know, you probably don't even know you are anxious about something. Mm. And then your body is saying you're a bit restricted. Be free. Be free. Mm. You know, if you could, you probably would have even taken off your bra, you know. But you know, there is a level of awareness of who you are and what's going on. Yeah.
So, moving on to the altar, kuphahla, and praying. This I find quite interesting because I know that we like assuming that something goes against our religion when we do not understand what this thing is. And for me, when I first, you know, started looking into meditation, I always associated it with people that practice, people that believe in the Buddha and practice that religion. I never thought that as a Zionist, it's something that I am already doing. Yes. So I'm looking forward to hearing that one. Is there something specifically about the altar, kuphahla, and praying, or by just doing that, you are basically meditating?
You know, meditation is as old as African spirituality, you know. And I do agree with you that almost every religion on the planet uses meditation as a tool, you know, for spiritual communion with the infinite, with the divine, with the God, with Allah.